Ladies and gentlemen,
there we go.
Here we are.
Please welcome D-Tex Smith and Steve Mix.
You know it.
You are now entering
the MegaCast.
What's up, Ted? You know, good to see your face. Look at us laughing already.
Oh, we're happy.
Yeah.
I'm in a great mood.
It's a big day today here at the office. There's people here.
There's people here in the building. I reconnected with someone who I haven't talked to in 20 years.
Well, you got to name drop that.
I know. It's so, you know, me and Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie broing down again, Ted. The boys are back.
Well, all right. In your defense. First of all, I forgot he was doing an end session here today.
Yeah, he's in the other room right now.
Right. So I show up. I'm just going to get my coffee. First of all, I walk in the door and there's two of our old co-workers.
You're like,
what are you guys doing here?
Are you still disgruntled?
I didn't recognize them in their masks.
Because everyone's wearing masks. So, you know, there's random people here. Yeah.
Right. So then we come in. I go to get coffee and water. And you're talking to Ben.
Yes.
Now, my previous knowledge is that you were in a band called Peter Parker. You guys used to play together and stuff.
Yeah, we shared a practice space. We played a bunch of shows in Bellingham with them. They played a bunch of shows in Seattle with us. It was always a great time.
And there's like people setting up. They've set up.
Yep.
Gregor's already mic checked. And as I walk by, I'm like, oh yeah, they're waiting for Ben, but him and Steve are catching up. And then I'm like, and then I didn't realize you guys hadn't talked in 20 years.
I know. Dude, okay. I'll try to keep it super quick, but it's such a, like, I feel good. You know, like, so Ben and I, way back in the day, like you said, Peter Parker and Death Cab for Cutie really started around the same time. We shared a space with Harvey Danger, and they were kind of like the big brothers, and we were the two younger brothers.
All right.
And the three of us shared a practice space. We'd all play shows together. Harvey Danger would always give us all opportunities. And then eventually, Death Cab took on a whole level of success that just went through the stratosphere, and deservingly so. And there was never like a falling out. But we were all pretty tight. The bassist, Nick, their then drummer. They had a couple drummers I used to like play video games with, and me and Ben would go play softball up in Bellingham and these like random rocking, you know, local rock star, not even like local rock band, I would say.
Yeah.
Softball games that were just like a bunch of random indie bands that were playing just for fun. But yeah, like we were buddies. Like he sang on our first record. You know, him and I would jam in a practice space where I would badly play the guitar while he would play the drums, which always pissed me off. I'm like, you're a better drummer than me, Ben. But like, we were buds and we'd get dinner. But you know, then that success happened, not because of anything went to his head, but like he went off and just traveled the world and we lost touch. And like I was never good at like the person that would like constantly bug. So I always was afraid I was bugging people. And I still have that problem where I'm like, I don't want to bug them. Like they're home for a couple of days. Let them. But so next thing you know, 20 years have gone by. And to be honest, when I heard he was going to be here and I knew we were mega casting, I was like, there was a little bit of anxiety.
Like, yeah, I was like, well, you haven't seen him in 20 years.
Haven't seen him in 20 years. Will he even remember me? You know, I don't know. I mean, I assume he would, but you never know. I mean, the guy's seen a million faces and rocked them all.
All right. Easy, fella.
So I'm like, I don't know. And I already got in my head again. I'm like, not going to bug him. Don't want to deal with it. Like that, all that. But I had to go wash my bowl that I ate my lunch in. And as I'm coming back, there he is with Sherry, who's a label rep, and a couple other people, right in the way, quote unquote, of our office. So I'm like heading that way, and I say hi to Sherry, of course. I'm not going to like.
And no, Sherry's
like,
dope.
Yeah, she's the nicest person. And then, you know, of course, I look at Ben, I'm like, hey, man. And I'm like, I have to wear a mask. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I don't want to make this awkward and be like, take off my mask and freak the guy out because, you know, everyone's
it's
wearing a mask.
It's me.
Right. You remember me? And he's like, at first, he was just being a cordial, nice person. Like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then all of a sudden, it just triggered. And you can see his eyes light up. He goes, Steve. And I'm like, hey, man. He goes, I'm like, he's like, I almost didn't recognize you with the mask. I'm like, yeah, that. And also, we haven't seen each other in 20 years. And it was cool, man. Like, we talked for like 10 minutes just to catch up. And, you know, it was funny because he's like, what have you been up to? I'm like, well, dad life and, you know. I wrestle for fun on the side, and then Sherry just starts laughing.
I wrestle.
I didn't know what else to say.
It's just you're the only person I know that picks up pro wrestling in their 40s,
and he's like, like independent wrestling, like, yeah. And then he starts going, he's like, I used to go to the independent shows at Tulalip at the Tulalip Casino, and I'm like, there used to be a wrestling federation like many. Before our time.
No kidding.
And it was Tulalip Championship Wrestling, I think it was.
All right, sorry.
Matt Farmer used to wrestle.
That's no kidding.
And Craig Proper, you know, who's been on the MegaCast as well. Like, those guys used to wrestle over at Tulalip.
All right.
And Ben, as a kid, used to go to those. So we're talking about that. And he goes, well, what's your character? Like, what do you... I'm like, oh, I'm a bad guy, and, you know, it's a douchebag radio personality that thinks he's, like, you know, the don't you know who I am guy, and he just starts cracking up. But I realized I said that around a bunch of other radio people, and I don't know if they took it as me, like you know, insulting the radio biz. But I'm like, that is what it is. I mean, if you think I'm insulting you, then maybe you are the douchebag radio person. Not Gregor, of course. But
I was going to say, yeah, that's not Gregor at all.
No, and I think it was just like, I think they just got caught by surprise hearing that. So then he's like, oh, let me see a picture. And I'm like trying to find pictures. It was, dude, it was surreal. It was like legit, like you just ran into your friend at a bar that you haven't seen in 20 years. And
yeah.
He's like, let me see your kid. And I show him a kid. And then I'm like, he's like, oh, I want to see, I'm like, oh, let me find this one picture. And I'm like scrolling and he's just laughing and we're talking. And I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I'm keeping you. Like, cause I realized like there are people waiting. He goes, he's like, no, it's the most exciting thing that's happened to me today. Like to see you and talk about wrestling. And I'm just like, oh, cool. And then I was like, dude, if you're ever around, if you want to come, he's like, no, I would love to come.
So I'm saying, he had the smile on his face is saying, like, I didn't give it two thoughts. I just was like, yeah. Oh, I guess they're still friends.
So I guess that's my TED talk today is like, don't let your anxiety get the best of you and assume that people just don't remember you or don't like you. Like, say hi. Because he was just like, yeah, let Sherry know. And I was going to be weird, like, dude, give me your number, bro. Like, I'm not going to go down, like, you know, or, yeah. Hey, follow me on Instagram, bro. I follow you. You haven't followed me in 20 years. I wasn't going to, like, do any of that kind of, like, bug him for anything. But I'm like, yeah, I'll let Sherry know. Because then Sherry's like, yeah, I want to come too. So I was like, next time it's somewhere closest to Seattle or Tacoma, if you guys want to make the trek, I'll take care of you. And you feel free to boo me.
Feel free to boo me. I mean, that's my favorite part.
And that was the fun part. I was like talking, he's like, dude, you love doing it. I'm like, dude, it's like music, but different. It's still like an art. But I was like, the nice thing, and like, I think you could appreciate this. When people are mean to you, you get to be mean back. And he's like, oh, that's awesome.
You get to be mean back. And then, as I told you, I think that was, is it DOA, SOA?
SOS.
SOS.
Yes.
Like at that one, it was kind of funny because like a lot of times if me and you go out and like people recognize you from the radio, they'll also know me. But like nobody cared. You're just Steve Miggs.
Yeah, I'm a wrestler.
Yeah, you're a wrestler.
That's my favorite part.
But I think I had to take like 10 pictures for you. Like, yeah, I'll take them.
I always love doing that too. Like where it's like, so I was like, can you get a picture? And they hand me the phone. And sometimes people are like, want to be like, hey, he's also a guy on the radio. I'm like, don't even say it. Like, this is awesome. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it was kind of fun
for you, and I think it's
like,
fun.
Yeah, it's nice seeing you like in your wrestling environment.
Yeah, so I think our next one at SOS is at Edison Square in Tacoma. I'm taking on Guillermo Rosas, and that's like one of my wish list dream opponents. He's a guy I train with. He's just an awesome dude. One of my favorite wrestlers in town, LKO boy. And that's going to be August 12th. Maybe Ben Gibbard will be there. I don't know.
I'm still just bummed they closed down that.
Me too.
Yeah, that room
Hell's
was great.
Palladium.
That room was awesome. It was Friday night.
Fremont Ballard-ish.
Yeah.
I think I could have got Ben to come to that because it's in Seattle.
Right. I was going to say, that one was great.
That was a super fun spot. And the room was awesome. Like, the room in Tacoma is great. It's a different kind of great. But that was like, there was a charm there that I felt like, oh man, we're going to be here for a while. We're going to build something pretty special where like every month this place is packed out. Like I think our last show was over capacity there. It was just like, it became a spot. Like, it became like a destination for people, even that people that didn't like wrestling.
That's what I'm saying. It was a cool room. That's what I'm saying. Because it was like me and Barnsey and Keith and Joe. We were like, this is great. And we were like, and I remember being like, no, we're going to cheer for him. And then within 2 minutes, we're booing you and being like, F you. He's the worst.
And you haven't seen me since I've introduced the hand of God. That's my brass knuckles.
That you call it the hand of God.
Hell yeah. Because I'm the god of the island now that I'm the champ. I'm gone full Kanye mode. Like, just like Jesus era of Kanye.
Do you know that soccer reference?
What's that?
The hand of God?
No.
Oh, there's a famous World Cup final where Maradona clearly uses his hand, and it's just referred to as the hand of God.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. That's why when you said that, I was like, really? The hand of God?
Oh, no. Because
it looks like he tries to head it, and he definitely uses his hand, and they end up winning 2-1. I think it's 2-1 is how it finishes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any announcer like talk where I could like steal it for a promo.
I mean, Steve, it's one of the most famous plays in World Cup history. I'm pretty sure there's plenty of announcers talking or calling it.
Oh, I got to find some stuff.
I can't believe you've been calling that the hand of God and nobody's brought that up to you.
Well, I've only been calling it for my last show.
Okay,
all right. So I beat Rebel Kel for the championship with the hand of God, but at the time, no one knew that what it was. It's brass knuckles.
I saw the knuckles.
Oddly enough, a listener called in or texted in one morning and said, hey, I have a 3D printer. I'm trying to learn how to do 3D printing with it. is there anything I can make you guys? I'm like, can you make me brass knuckles that say MIGS on each knuckle? He's like, yeah, I can. And he did. He sent me two of them. So that, and they're gold.
So you needed brass knuckles to beat a lady?
Hell yeah, I did. I used brass knuckles to beat a wrestler, you sexist pig.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yep, you're right.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was full heel mode. I did that in Spokane, which I was like, oh, Mig's fighting a girl. I'm like, I'm fighting a wrestler, you misogynist.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good.
So I beat her with the knucks, right? And that, it was great. And then the last match, I beat Cody Chun. Ref got knocked out. Ref caught me with the knuckles at the start of the match.
All right.
And, well, the fans dime me out, these jerks.
Classic.
Right.
They're peasants.
Like, right? Losers.
Surprised you guys can afford to sit in the front row.
I should have them blacklisted. So ref gets them, puts them in his back pocket.
Your girlfriend's ugly. See, I don't even wrestle. I just stand there.
She was calling me a baldy. I was like, you are body shaming me, and you wish you looked this good without hair.
Right? Yeah, all right, I'm bald. Nice wig.
I said you should shave your hair, because your hair makes you look ugly. Anyway, so the ref catches me, takes the knuckles, puts them in his back pocket. Later on in the match, somehow he got knocked out. Yeah, you know, it was just
hate to see it.
And he was out cold, and I remembered. I was like, I can't forget to take these knuckles from him. So, you know, because they're mine.
Yeah.
So I grabbed them at the time when Cody was trying to hit me with his finisher, and I caught him. And I punched him. I didn't realize I still had the knuckles on my hand.
Oh, you were just trying to get them back because they're your property.
Right. Right.
Oh, that could happen to any of us.
It happened to the best of us.
Right.
But I mean, at that point, what am I supposed to do? Dime myself out? I woke the ref up and said, "Hey, wake up! I'm about to win this match," and I did, and not many people were happy with me.
Hey, a win's a win.
One with the hand of God.
Damn it, I can't believe you're using that term. TED Talk. Oh, we need a TED Talk? Starring. Oh, yeah.
The TED Talk.
All right. Well, I had one kind of I was going to go with, but I think we should tell people, don't be afraid to say hi to your old friends.
What a dumb thing my mind does to me. Most people are like, I haven't seen my friend. And honestly, if he wasn't Ben Gibbard of Death Cab for Cutie, I would have no problem approaching someone I haven't seen in 20 years. I just didn't want to make things weird for both of us. And I was scared that if he didn't remember, that would kind of like crush my memories from 20 years ago.
Well, I was going to say, it's a little different when your friend from 20 years ago sells out arenas and stadiums
right.
with his band.
Right.
Like, that's a little bit different.
And I always feel like, oh, man, like... Like, I've romanticized about our past. Do I want to risk it being like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Oh, you're that guy. Because, I mean, I have so many great memories from the guy, from him being on the radio proclaiming me his favorite drummer in all of Seattle. Like there's so many fun things that I'm sure he doesn't remember, but I do. Because they were cool moments. It was a massive part of my past.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, with DeMatha, though, I went to high school with a couple guys that ended up in the NBA and
right.
stuff. But same thing, like, I ran into one of the guys probably, like, 8 years later. He had already, like, dominated Kentucky.
Yeah.
Like, you know, been to the Final Four. He was in the NBA. And same thing. I was like, do I say hi? Like, do you
think? Right.
And he's like, you know, like, Ted. I was like, oh, what up, man?
It feels good.
Right. And I'm in a basketball gym. So when he walks in... Every eye is on him, right? Like, you know, this is Keith Bogans.
Yeah.
Those guys. I mean, same thing. You know, we sat there and chatted for like 10 minutes.
How great is that?
But you're right. When somebody gets to that level, it's like, I you get kind of nervous. Like, oh, man, they know so many people now.
Right. You have like such great memories that you fear that this bad experience will tarnish those memories. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like it's well enough that we never say hi to each other and see each other ever again.
And I just get to tell people I know him.
Yeah, right. Now, because if he was, well, I don't remember you or whatever, then I can never share the story of Peter Parker, Death Cab for Cutie, Harvey Danger. Like, it's like, oh, man. Like, now there's a part of my mind that's like, I wasn't memorable to this guy, and we spent years together.
Right, because now those stories would seem ridiculous. It's like, yeah, but what happened when you said hi to him, Steve?
He didn't know who I was. He said, would you like a picture, fan? What would you like me to autograph?
Move along, Baldy.
Hey, Baldy, aren't you that dick of a wrestler?
You should have hit him if he had done that, if you'd pulled out your knuckles. Oh,
hit him with the hand of God.
That's too good.
Is that the TED Talk?
That is, yeah. Reach out to people. I would also remind people, go dance.
Yo, I hope you're going to be dancing this weekend.
I will. I was dancing last weekend. Weddings. Too easy.
Oh, Mike Hawk, congratulations.
Yeah,
Got married. Yes.
He did.
That's awesome.
It was also been a few years. My return to the Yellow Beak.
Oh, boy. I just, oh, I have to, we'll have to, how was that?
I love that place.
Yeah. Did you play horseshoes?
No.
Do they have the horseshoes still?
When we got down there, me and my buddy Sean got there early, and I was just like, hey, man, let's go in there and get a beer or two, but like, I need to eat something. So we like split like a quesadilla, go to the wedding, we come back. Now I'm out of my button up, and I'm just in like that super deep V.
Yes.
In my blazer. Like, a lot of people at the wedding said by the end, I look like a Russian drug dealer.
This is my friend, the Anton Smith.
Right. We walk into the Yellow Beak, and it's the same. It's the way I remember it.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Blonde country girls. Everybody's friendly. And they're just, we're just like, hey.
Dude, I was just talking about the Yellow Beak with somebody. My last time there was fresh off of breaking up with my ex-girlfriend before Sid.
Okay.
And we were there, and you know, obviously we talked about it on the air. People knew. Some guy came up to me. It was, I think, after like a maybe.
Was it after like a foul balls game?
It might have been.
All right, I remember. Right, that's right, because I think you drove me home.
I think so. Yeah, and the guy came up to me and just like, hey, man, big fan. He's like, real sorry to hear about the relationship breaking up. I'm like, oh, yeah, no worries. He goes, you know, I'm such a fan that I'd like to take care of you, and I've got some girls I'll hook you up with for free.
Cool.
And I was like, I'll never forget. That was the place where I assume a pimp was trying to give me a freebie on some hookers.
See, we had the opposite. There was a table full of attractive women.
You paid for the hookers. Well,
my buddy starts chatting them up, and finally the dude with them just goes, just so you know, they are all my daughters.
Oh.
Basically, he was like, not in front of me, guys.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Right. But also,
wait till I leave.
There was like a couple next to me that was a little bit older, but like they both had awesome hair. Like she was a hot blonde older woman, but the dude had great flow too. And it was like, oh yeah, what are you talking to those blondes? I was like, there's only two hot blondes and it's that couple.
Hey.
Didn't miss a beat. Just blew off the whole table full of blondes. All right.
Deuce's dad and his daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to get in a weird threesome over here.
unless you're down, Pops.
Oh.
I click on those thumbnails if you know what I mean. You see, stepdad? No, it's gone too far.
Steve, I'm worried about this hand of God. It's taking control of your personality.
Just like Kanye, man. It's just
you're right. Just like Kanye.
It's like
if you start making me wear weird slippers and pay $500 for them,
I might run for president.
Might not.
I might not.
Might just run for governor of Georgia, didn't he?
I don't know.
Or did he just announce he's running for president in Atlanta?
Dad, I got some new shoes. They're called Stevuses. All right, let's take a break. Yeah. We got to talk sports. I want to hear what your preparation is, and are you getting ready for the big meltdown this weekend?
Oh, I have a lot of packing to do when I get home.
Oh man, I'm already experiencing a little bit of FOMO on this.
Yeah,
but you know what? I can't wait to hear the stories about how summer meltdown goes. It's back after a couple of years of not having it. Right?
Correct. And the last year they had it. I want to say it was the same weekend we did like Pain in the Grass or something.
Yeah.
So I haven't been in like 3 years.
You're right. Because I was like, didn't we go to the very last meltdown? I'm like, no, we didn't. We did Pain in the Grass.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about sports. There's a lot to talk about with sports.
There is.
When the Mega Cash returns.
They say I should say something nice about Ted and Steve. These guys are so dumb that you'll feel way smarter just by listening. How's that? The Mega Cast will be back.
From the days of crude, berry-stained cave drawings to today's modern digital video technology, mankind has long been captivated by pornography. Now the United States Postal Service invites you to share in this love of lechery with a new commemorative stamp set, the Masters of American Pornography series, is a full sheet of very well-trimmed stamps, each backed with an unusually familiar adhesive, and each saluting a different era in American pornography, including stamps like The Sheriff's Big Posse, Hooray for Harry Wood, and What's Og Doing Behind That Mastodon? Commemorative stamps from the United States Postal Service.
There's something familiar about this glue.
Why are you listening to this crap? I'd rather listen to Kids Bop over this sh**. The Megacast is back.
Oh, hey there.
Oh, hey.
Sorry.
See, we chat a lot during the breaks.
Hey, sometimes we got to talk. We had Ben Gibbard popped in. You know, we were reminiscing. And wouldn't that be great if we had him in here? That's the most random interview.
I think it was weird that I told him they should have Death Cab for Booty.
Yeah. That should be their EDM side hustle.
Death Cab for Booty.
Death Cab for Booty, and they just play some bass heavy tracks.
Have you ever seen the Beatles movie Yesterday?
Is that the actual Beatles movie?
No.
The one with Ed Sheeran or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And like the dude gets hit by a truck basically nobody remembers the Beatles. So they think he's the great.
I love that movie.
Yeah. So my favorite line that I drop all the time, people don't know that movie, is when Ed Sheeran's like, I think you should go with Hey Dude.
Yes.
Hey Dude. I drop it all the time on the men, Drew. Miles the Thrill goes over there and Mike, none of them have seen the movie.
Underappreciated film.
Well, I don't know about you. I don't watch a lot of rom-coms, but if I'm on a plane, I get a couple beers and watch rom-coms. Just die laughing. People are like, what are you watching? Like, oh, yeah. Isn't She Lovely or Yesterday?
Do you have Amazon Prime?
Do I have it? Yeah, because I watch The Boys.
Okay.
I always forget. There's too many of them. I'm like, what do so I have much. And not have?
I'm same. There's a show that we've been really geeking out on. It's Reacher.
All right.
It's like Jack Reacher, but it's a television show. I think you'd get a kick out of it.
All right, yeah.
Nothing to do with anything other than the fact that you mentioned watching things. I'm like, Ed would like this show. It's a good show.
I still haven't finished the damn Sandler movie. When I had COVID, you were like, you should watch it. I watched like 15 minutes
of it. Hustle?
Yeah. Is it Hustle? Yeah. And anyhow, I like fell asleep on the couch. And then I'm like, I got to go back and find where I was. And just never put it back on. That's how lazy I was.
Dude, that's our life. Like, I'm like, we're watching Reacher. I'm like, we put it back on. I'm like, why did we stop it in the middle of an episode? I'm like, oh, Sid fell asleep. I turned it off to watch wrestling. So then I got to rewind it like 5 minutes because I'm like, usually I'm pretty good at keeping up on like if our eyes are open or not because I don't want to keep watching it past, you know, when she falls asleep because then we have to go back and start watching it again.
So that happens with me with Mariners games sometimes. I'll be watching like a show or something and then I'll check Twitter and it's like tied up in the eighth and I'll stop it, go to watch the end of the Mariners game and then be like, damn it. Like I'll forget. Like you got to go back and watch this.
Dude, that was me last night watching the Mariners game. They're up 3-1. I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. I kind of dozed off. I'm like, I'll just check on. I don't want to stay up and watch the end. They got this. I wake up and I'm like, they won 5-4. I'm like, oh, cool. It looks maybe the team, you know, maybe the Rangers put up a couple runs, made it something interesting. I'm like, oh, crap. In the ninth inning, they were losing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would have not fallen asleep after that game. My adrenaline would have been too high. And then, because you know how it is. If a team like a Seahawks game, Mariners game, if it ends in epic fashion, cracking, I can't fall asleep.
No.
Oh, I'm so glad I fell asleep before that. And I went to bed just feeling good about the game.
Hey, look, they still won. Maybe you should go to sleep every time they have a lead, even if it's a 1 p.m. game.
Crap. What if they score the right now? They might have scored by...
Oh, that's right. They're playing a day game right now. Steve, take a nap.
I already did. I already napped. Does that count?
They should win today.
I
you know what?
In the other room.
Guarantee it.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat. This is
the Ted Smith's
Where's your buddy?
World of Sports. Brought to you by
Smith Family Popcorn. Good people, great popcorn.
I miss you.
You know, I bet if you would open the door and be like, come in for 5 minutes,
he would.
He would.
Yeah. I could have flexed that. I'm like, now that we're best friends again. What are you doing for dinner?
We'll
go back to that spot in Capitol Hill we used to go to.
Is it still there?
I don't even know. I can't remember. I know it was, I think it was Thai. I remember we used to get Thai food a lot.
Oh, Thai food in the city in Capitol Hill. Way to narrow it down, Steve. I mean, come on, man. It's like saying you found a wing joint where I grew up or a pizza parlor in Brooklyn.
Hey, a pizza parlor.
Oh, hey.
We were talking about Dino's the other morning because we were talking about Detroit style pizza.
Correct.
And I always forget that like that pizza is kind of like it's like a Sicilian, but it's also like a Detroit style pizza the way they make it.
So I think we're talking about Dino's tomato pie.
Yeah, in Capitol
Technically,
Hill.
To me, it's in between.
I agree.
It's not thick enough to be Detroit style or Sicilian.
Right.
But it's almost like, it's almost what pizza should be. Because it's like, I don't know if it's focaccia bread. Might not, either way, but and every piece is like the end piece of lasagna.
Yes.
And they put the olive oil on there and it's got that little crust. Damn, like, I ain't been down there in a minute. I'm getting hungry just thinking about
it. Yeah, like that would be the toughest thing, I think, to stick with this non-dairy diet that I'm doing. Like, I think that would be the one where I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe I should just bend the rules for one slice.
That, so their rounds are really good too.
Yeah.
But that, what do they call it? The grandma slice or whatever. That square pizza, I have yet to have anybody out and they're like, you sure? I'm like, let me just get this. And they're like, that is so good.
It's the best pizza I've had. In the Northwest.
Yeah. I just love my guys at PAG so much. Pagliacci.
Also great.
But you're right. Dino's tomato pie. That's probably my favorite. If somebody said, what's your favorite pizza? It'd be that square pizza.
If I had someone that was coming to town and like, hey, I just want to get some good pizza. I'm like, let's go there.
Yeah, and they have garlic knots.
Which are also fantastic.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, God dang it. I'm hungry.
All right, let's see. All right, so Mariners, you know what? The Astros are really good. So for the Mariners right now, like, they're beating the teams they should beat, but like the Astros are really good.
It's just a bummer that after this series, hopefully we sweep it, but hopefully it's swept by the time people listen to this episode. And I did take my nap.
Yeah.
But up next, the Houston Astros again.
I know. We got to play them a bunch this month. But with that said, I'm still just pumped that like the town's excited. I've seen more people posting pictures down at T-Mobile Park and Mariners games than I've ever seen in 18 years of living here.
Okay, got to ask you the question then.
Hit me.
You're the manager of the Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
You find out Julio Rodriguez jammed his wrist stealing a base against the Rangers before the All-Star break.
All right.
Now all of a sudden he's put into the All-Star game and he's asked to do the home run derby. Would you let him?
Yes.
You would?
I would.
Why?
It's just too big of a stage for a young player not to let him have that chance.
What if, like, because some people say, hey, he doubled his salary with that. I'm like, oh, you know, as a manager, I would probably just grab 700 grand from the office and be like, slide it under the table. I'm like, Julio, you didn't get this from me.
But I mean, it would also depend on how bad the injury was. But obviously, it couldn't have been that terrible. I mean, I know he missed some games and he's playing again.
Three important games against the Astros, Ted.
Right, but I'm just like, I would have a hard time telling a young guy like that, like, no, you can't do that.
And he was the talk of baseball for the All-Star break.
Correct.
Which was cool.
Right. And that's such a massive stage. I mean, look, who won the All-Star game? American League or National League?
American League.
All right. See, my point was being, though, home run derby is almost a bigger thing
right.
that people talk about than the actual game.
To be honest, I didn't even know who the hell the Soto guy was until the All-Star home run derby. And now all of a sudden, I'm like, yeah, the Mariners got to trade for this guy. Zero idea of what this guy can bring to the table other than he's great. He beat Julio. Bring him on our team.
Yeah. And
they hugged.
I don't know what baseball can do, but there's got to be some way to get those guys more marketing and stuff. Like, I feel like most people know Fernando Tatis Jr.
Yep.
Right. Like, you know, some of those guys. I mean, Mike Trout just doesn't seem to like publicity, which is tough when you're arguably the best player in the sport.
There's a good chunk of baseball players who are very boring. Whenever you hear interviews with them, I remember hearing an interview with Ty France, and I was all excited because I like Ty France, and I'm sure he's a cool guy, but he just sounded like he didn't want to even do the interview.
Yeah, but I also think there's a nice groundswell on Twitter of like making baseball cool again.
Yes,
like there's a dude I follow, JUCO something. Some people think he's obnoxious, which he is, but he does a good job of like making baseball cool, and he's like lifting heavy weights, hit bombs. So like that stuff is good, and then. We also just got to get more like cool people into baseball.
Like you us. Know, they should invite us to the games.
I was thinking more like actors, rappers, but yeah, us too.
I mean, we're right on par.
And it's just tough.
I'm friends with Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. Doesn't
tightest,
that mean anything?
Tightest of friends.
Yes. Best of friends.
So the Mariners are doing good. Sounders are in their kind of summer thing, but they got nice 3 points on Saturday, which I respect.
The Sounders just feel like they're like, we won the championship. F it. We're good.
They are.
Yeah.
And there's been some injuries.
They got time.
But this is generally when the Sounders kind of suck. It's the, I mean, it's how Smets are kind of coached. Like, we've had years where we're, like, better than this.
Yeah.
We've had years where we're first place. But, like, generally, if they have a lull, it's the dog days of summer.
He's the Breaking Bad style of coaching.
Yeah, get him ready. And
look, little dips, but by the end, it's full swing.
I love it. Like, have him peaking at the right time.
True.
Because, like, the year we won the Supporter Shield, right, which is what you get if you're the best team over the course of the year, which is nice, but then when you don't win the championship, you know
what
I
mean? It's a waste.
Right, it's like, look at the Patriots. Like, they didn't win the Super Bowl that year.
Look at the Mariners, 2001.
Right? You set a record. What's it, 116 wins?
116. Didn't lose a single series in baseball that season. Like, every series that they played, they didn't lose.
Correct. But then you don't win the title. It's
don't
like,
matter.
Does it? Right. Does
almost
it
makes you more of a joke.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the Sounders, eh. And then camps have broken. The NFL guys are back.
Oh, baby.
Let the pads pop.
Let the pads plop.
Let the pads pop.
Oh, I think he said let the pads plop.
You like, never hear me yell that? That's no. What, we don't watch a lot of NFL together, but that's like my, I stole it from my buddy Alex.
I thought like the New England Patriots had like a diarrhea problem.
Oh, like, yeah. Like you see like Prez or somebody, you know, really lay somebody out. Let the pads pop.
I like it.
Let's go.
See Russell Wilson?
You know what? I did see Russell. And I know we hate on Russell sometimes.
Oh, we're very bitter.
I was fine with it. Like, I thought it's a throwback jersey. It's his jersey. They're his pants. They're his shoes.
I argued that he was wearing a Drew Lock jersey to show some respect to the previous quarterback because that was Drew's number.
Well, and I know everybody were not. And look, I still unfollowed him, but I was like, of all the stuff he's done.
I did too, finally.
Oh, yeah. Like, that one didn't bug me. I was like, all right.
What about the massive truck that he was coming out of?
I've read conflicting things on Twitter. Some people were like, dude, he had that when he's in Seattle.
I've never seen it before.
Either have I.
I love someone.
But I've also never seen him drive a vehicle.
True.
Every time I've seen him get out of something, he's like getting out of an SUV and has his little entourage. So I'm like, if he drove, I mean, I assume that was his truck. Maybe that's just where they got the picture.
I just love that he was at home and he's like, you know what? I'm wearing my jersey to work today. My favorite was someone on Twitter was just like, Russell Wilson buying that truck. Would you like any of the add-ons? Yes. Which ones do you want? All of them. Well, he's Russell, not as cool as Aaron Rodgers showing up as Con Air.
All right, so did he do it on purpose? Or is that just
did.
A look? All right, so do I.
Which, he quoted Con Air in a tweet, I think.
All right, which makes, I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan. Same. I think it's just a little odd.
It's cute that he found mushrooms, though.
Right, I was like, all right, I talked about this on the podcast last night. Like, we all know this guy. Like, all right, Aaron, we get it, man. You did acid. Like, cool. But let's just, like, let it. We don't have to
hey,
go
I'm
this
guilty of having an acid-inspired tattoo, and he has one as well. Him and I have, we're simpatico.
Right. But when he walked up in that, I also love that he just tossed his bag. I'm like dying to know of like what was in the bag. How was it just tossed? But he kind of won me back over with that. I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
And he looked big.
He did. He looked good.
And he's not the biggest guy. Like that's one thing that always bugged me about Aaron Rodgers. I've heard he gets really salty when people are like, I thought you'd be taller. And as a dude that's 5'9", 5'10", I'm just like, well, you're the league MVP. Like you can't be. Like, I get it. It's not the best thing for somebody to say to you, but like,
get over it.
Right. Like, you're Aaron freaking Rodgers.
You've dated some of the hottest women in the world. Like, your height has had no impact on the success of your life.
Correct.
Even and they're a nice just, head of hair.
It's just because you're the NFL quarterback. They're just legit caught off guard.
You look good in a white tank top.
I'm going to start calling him the pear because he's a little prickly. but no, look. I'm going to Meltdown this weekend.
Oh,
it's usually the highlight of the summer.
Yep. New venue,
which is interesting.
I think that's fun, though. Like, it's a new exploration.
Steve, it is. I'm just sick and tired of people asking me questions. Like, I finally just told my one buddy, I go, I can't answer that. It is a new venue. Like,
so do you think the water's going to be cold?
Right.
How do you think the current's going to be in the river?
Well, how deep do you think it's going to be? I'm like, I don't, guys, I haven't been here either. I don't know.
Are we going to be able to set up our couches?
You can tell when I'm frustrated. My voice gets high and my hands come out. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Just do me a favor. At some point, go to the late night tent wearing nothing but swim trunks, a tank top, a baseball cap, and sandals, and dance for my honor.
Oh, I will.
Okay. And maybe mentally call me like I tried calling you when I was there that one time, and I was dancing at 2 a.m. by myself, trying to call you on my brain.
I still like I'm sitting back at camp like, I guess I got to go find Steve. And finally somebody goes, Steve's fine, dude. If you're tired, you can just go lay down.
The best part was I'm dancing. I'm trying to like figure out a way to get to Ted.
Yeah.
Not realizing everybody at our campsite at one point walked by me and said, Steve. I'm like, hey, and like we're heading back to the camp. Cool. I could have just said, could you let Ted know I'm in the late night tent? He should come by.
Yeah, I think I sent some people fishing, but never they never caught you.
Yeah, but I saw people from our campsite, and they were going back to the site. I could have easily just said, hey, can you relay this message to Ted? No, it's too busy telepathically telling you to come dance with me, Ted.
Dude, so you'll like it this year. It's Woodland Creatures, so I'm gnome on top. Like, I'm going to have a gnome costume,
uh-huh.
But it's going to be too hot, so I'm just wearing blue, like, I mean, they are short shorts.
Oh, boy.
Like, right? Like, this short.
Oh, some nut huggers?
Oh, yeah. This gnome's getting down.
Oh, you're going to have so much fun. Are you leaving tomorrow?
I'm leaving tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah, I'm going to go up, spend a night.
What's the parking situation like there? Kidding. I'm just asking you questions you don't have answers to.
Actually, the parking, I know. There's RV, there's premium RV, then there's like tent camping in the forest.
Are you doing the RV?
I am.
Are you getting the same one with the dog on the window?
No, because it's like four of us. So we rented one from like, you know that site Outdoorsy?
Yes.
Right? It's kind of like Airbnb, but for RVs and stuff.
Oh, nice. So it's somebody's RV that you're renting from.
Correct. And I like on there, they even say if you're allowed to take it to a music festival.
Oh, this is like a checkbox for that?
Yeah. It's like literally like no music festivals. And then it'll say music festival friendly.
That's smart because Airbnb does that, like no parties.
Well, it's also funny too, because like my buddy called the guy and he was like, man, the guy was really nice. It's like, well, yeah, we are taking it to a music festival, but it's four guys in their 40s. One's a lawyer. One runs works at a giant fashion company I won't name. One's a radio DJ. It's like, yeah. One's a teacher. So it's like that guy's like, all right, they're taking it. They're not going to destroy this thing.
Right. These guys are probably the lamest four dudes I'm ever going to rent this to go to a music festival.
You're probably right.
It's not a bunch of people in their 20s that show up wearing like candy necklaces on like a Tuesday afternoon.
Right. Like we're not throwing an after-hours rave in there.
Right. We just need a place to crash.
Right. Basically, yes. And turn on the AC for an hour during the day.
Oh, nice. It has AC.
Yeah. It's going to be, look, it's going to be hot out there.
Well, how's it at night? Is it going to be cold there?
I mean, look, ideally, it'll cool off a little bit.
Well, bring nice shoes. I did see that on, not nice, like dress shoes. But I don't just assume that you can just get by walking around barefoot and in sandals, I guess. I saw somebody post that like you'd want like some decent kind of walking shoes because of like the, I don't know why. Maybe it's like, maybe there's like some rocks. Or some areas where you just aren't, it's not just dirt and sand or dirt and grass.
You know me, I always wear tennis shoes during the day anyhow.
That's true.
And because even like Meltdown, there were certain, like the old venue, there were certain spots where just like walking on rocks, just like, that hurts.
Could one year we do Meltdown and we just dress as Pete Carroll? Just khakis.
I mean, look,
sneakers.
I love Josh that runs it, but like if I see it, that would be my only thing is like, I used to love. I think by the time you started coming, there was always a theme.
Yes.
But Saturday night,
I never took part in.
Right. Saturday night used to just be costumes. So people could wear. So
that's fun.
And I would sit there in the beer garden and just people watch because there's so many different costumes.
Yeah.
Like I watched Zeus and like his wife play beer pong. And finally I walked over. I was like, I could watch you guys play beer pong for like an hour. And they were like, oh, you're watching us? I was like, when's the next time I'm going to see Zeus and whatever Zeus's wife is? Right? They look like Greek gods, like the togas. And I was like, yeah, I could watch you guys play beer pong for an hour.
See, that if somebody walked by dressed as Pete Carroll, I would lose my mind.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel like if anyone should do it, it's you because you could, you are easily, in a moment's notice, could switch right into coach speak.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, because you know somebody there is going to challenge you.
Got to always compete.
Like, come on, coach, tell me what I like to do. And then I know you would just bust right into it.
Dude, we could just be, you could be Pete Carroll and I'll be short Mike Holmgren.
Yes.
Right? We could just be NFL or Seahawks coaches.
You know what? Screw it. I'm coming to Meltdown. All right, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, I got to do work.
I know. Well, have a great freaking time. Say hi to the Meltdown crew.
For sure.
And again, please dance for me at 2 in the morning and send me telepathic vibes.
Dude, I'm pumped for Travis Thompson on Saturday. I haven't seen him yet live.
I don't think I've ever seen Travis Thompson, no.
He's a local rapper from Burien.
Dude, I like his stuff. I didn't know he was performing at Meltdown.
Yeah, it's him, and then there's like a DJ set, and then STS9. I'm like, oh, Saturday's
Yeah, he's
fun.
Really good.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean.
And Grizz, is he there again?
Oh, my bad. So it's Travis Thompson into Grizz. STS9, I think, is Friday.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, Saturday night. Like, Saturday's always a fun day, but I would, like, you know me. I'm not the biggest. I got to hit all the main stage shows, but I'm like, I am not missing Travis Thompson into Grizz.
No. That's a good 1-2 punch.
Yeah, that's one of those, like, afterwards, like, I got to go sit at camp. I am full of sweat.
Right. Well, I'll be also around people scantily clad, but it's Defy Wrestling in Tacoma.
Oh, okay. All right.
A little bit different, but that's Friday night. We're doing Tacoma at the Alma Mater, which is the first time Defy Wrestling is going to be there. I'll be ring announcing.
Nice.
Come on out, defywrestling.com, if you want to come and yell and scream with some of your favorite wrestlers. Maybe I'll bring my friend Ben Gibbert with me.
What part of Tacoma is it in?
I know it's close to Destiny City Comics because that's Ethan's comic book shop, and he says like 5 minutes from there.
All right.
I think it's close. I don't know. I'll tell you on Wednesday of next week.
All right. I was just going to say, I always recommend the Forum. If people want to get like a bite to eat and a drink
beforehand. The Juicy Lucy is like the best burger.
Yeah, like, seriously, I love that bar. I was at the one in Puyallup Sunday morning having a mimosa.
Oh, thanks for saying hi.
And as I said that out loud, I was like, Jesus, I was in Puyallup. It didn't even dawn on me to text you.
You were legit 5 minutes from my house.
It didn't even dawn on me, Steve.
You have yet to see my new house.
I know.
I'm glad to see that irate.
Your lawn looks great.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Well, you posted a picture. Well, we had spent the night in Enumclaw, and then we had to take all the like extra like beer and stuff back to Mike McKenzie's house.
Uh-huh.
And then we were like, want to go get brunch? I was like, yeah. But I was like, let's go to a bar. I want to get some drinks, too.
Uh-huh.
So they were like, oh, we'll just go to the Forum. And I was like, I love the Forum. And as I'm saying this out loud, I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, I should have texted
you. And at no point did you think Steve lives in Puyallup.
I was a little rough around the edges.
All right, fair. I'll
We ordered like shots that have like orange juice and Red Bull in them and stuff, and mimosas. And the mimosas showed up in stemless wine glasses. I chug it and go, oh man, that was a big shot. And the bartender's like, that was your mimosa, dude. I was like, oh, I almost cursed. Yeah, I'm the idiot. I remember like halfway through, I'm like, oh, man, this is a big shot.
This is very orange juicy.
And it's shipping. And I'm just chugging it.
That bartender's like, this guy's had a rough night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they thought we were funny. It was pretty quiet. There was one guy was in there just like finishing his lunch. And you know me, burger and whiskey. I like the combination. He's just like, yeah, dude, it was good.
He's like, I don't want to talk to you.
Right. Like, yeah, drunk, you got, stay on your corner of the bar, drunk guy.
We call that the Puyallup freeze. All right. You can follow us on Twitter @TheMegaCast. Have an awesome weekend.
Yeah, man. We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.